So Viv, I'd like to start then with sledging. What was said about it during the inquest into the death last year of Australian batsman Philip Hughes, the inquest, of course, just completed. The coroner, Michael Barnes, said no one was to blame for Hughes' death, but he did say this about sledging. Hopefully, he said, the focus on this unsavoury aspect of the incident may cause those who claim to love the game to reflect whether the practice of sledging is worthy of its participants. Well, what's your view on sledging?
Well, I can tell you for sure that some of the things that that's said at times, I can remember there was one incident where it was, I think it was the Ashes series, and I'm not going to mention the individual's name at this point, but to say it was, oh, you're going to break your arm and all that sort of stuff. Nothing is wrong with a guy looking into one's eyes and that intimidating factor. But when you start saying nasty things and all that sort of stuff, I guess maybe this would have helped to create or to bring about the inquiry and to find out all this stuff that's been said. But for sure, Australia have been pretty much involved over the years, and I guess no one wants to have such, in terms of the incident that took place with Philip Hughes and things like that. But I know for sure, touring that part of the world, that there's a lot of guys who pretend to be tough. Sometimes they'll say some tough and nasty things.
Mm. Would you say that the Australians were the worst perpetrators?
Well, I would say that, to be fair, you'd have had guys who retaliate at times because some of this stuff that's been said. But Australia have been pretty prominent where that is concerned. I remember even when I had a stink in Sheffield Shield cricket, you used to get a lot of that. But at some point, you know, you don't mind a guy use something that's reasonably clever or say something that is clever. But when you start using the ogrety stuff and sometimes question your parenthood and all that sort of stuff, and guys who pretend to be tough, you know, the toughness is in the results, you know. And I've always felt that at times, you know, you had guys from that part of the world who went beyond the boundary, in my opinion.
You said something pretty clever back to Glamorgan's Greg Thomas once, didn't you?
Well, that was more, I guess, it was...
Well, it was in retaliation to what he said to you, wasn't it?
I think it was Bumbles, and to be fair, you know, it was all about maybe what the ball looks like, and that to me is smart stuff, not anything that's... about sledging. You can have guys, you know, who say the clever stuff, and I guess that was even used in a lot of after dinner stuff. Where anecdotes and all that stuff. It's
just remind us of what was said.
Some guys used it to some guys here at the time who would have played would have used it and used many other names, if I can remember, but I don't think it was Greg Thomas at the time. But you know, you have some quicks, you know, who can say things that maybe it's red, it's round, and it's whatever ounces, and that to me, it's clever stuff. That's what's I guess competing and what competition is all about, and especially when you get your own back, you and you would have put something rather nasty in terms of the shot that you would have played on such against such individual. It is quite clever when you can get that upper hand. And you just remind that individual that scene that he knows what it looks like. He can go and help them find it. That, to me,
famously,
is real clever stuff.
Famously, Saviv, you never wore a helmet, did you? Always a cap. Why was that?
I felt that it was a maroon cap which was given to me, and this is what maybe you may use in whatever term, that's the cap that you won and the cap of the crest and what you're representing in terms of what we did represent then. And I just felt that, you know, it was rather appropriate. And I guess also that a helmet didn't quite fit too well on my head, but my head was big enough anyway. for that.
It didn't provide you with much. It didn't provide you with much protection, though, did it? You'd wear one now, would you? A helmet?
Well, it depends. Well, when you see some of the things that would have happened, I guess it would have prompted you to make the necessary changes. I guess you didn't quite have the comfort that you have where helmet is concerned in the modern day. But the cap was what it was all about, and it did help in a big way also, because I found that individuals who used to have that protective gear felt that they had on a suit of armor and they could hook, and guys who never hooked before were trying to do things that wasn't in their category. And I felt with the cap itself, I had to take some precautions, and those precautions would be all about maybe watching the ball as closely as you can, knowing that if you miss, then you'd be in trouble.
Let's discuss your involvement with the Pakistan Super League and the Quetta Gladiators. The league got off the ground. Let's discuss your involvement with the Pakistan Super League and the Quetta
Gladiators.
Yes. I just need to do a question again because I got a text message coming over the microphone. Let's discuss your involvement with the Pakistan Super League and the Quetta Gladiators. The league got off the ground last year and your team reached the final. Can the league ever be as successful as the Indian Premier League, do you think?
I don't think we should look to start competing with the IPL at this point, because Pakistan, and I put it in maybe a clever way when I would use the words that the Pakistani players themselves, they are playing in exile. And even though, and when I say that, Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Sharjah, when I say that, you do have a huge Pakistani, sort of individuals, who live in that part of the world.
And where they're playing now, of course,
isn't
it?
That's where it's played, yeah.
Yes. I mean, there's hope that the final next year will be played in Lahore. How realistic is this, do you think?
Well, we're hoping that if that's the case, then you get the necessary security things that happens. And this is one way, I believe, also, of trying to get cricket back in that part of the world. Because even though that you have your issues and things like that where security is concerned, I guess there are other parts of the world which you have that as well. You don't have to look too far. I guess we played cricket at a time when you had your issues here in the country with the IRA as well and all that sort of stuff. So there are ways and means of trying to get around that. And if folks, who love the game itself can be part of that, because as you know, in Pakistan they do love their sports, and cricket comes to mind. And it was such a wonderful tournament that was played in that part of the world, Dubai, Abu Dhabi and Sharjah. If that can be spread, one can only hope and wish that the folks, who sometimes can create maybe the non-security factor where cricket is played in that part of the world, if you can convince, because we should all appreciate the game of sports, and hopefully folks can come along and folks, can put down whatever they have at that particular time in terms of the aggression that they bring with the non-security factor. It would be great for that country again, because it's a huge contingent in that part of the world who appreciate and loves their cricket.
Finally, Saviv, to England, Alastair Cook, England captain, describes his side as underdogs for the forthcoming Test series in India. It's hard, isn't it, to see it in any other way, really?
Well, especially what India would have achieved just recently against New Zealand. And that's one way to put it. I think that's smart enough in terms of being diplomatic. But I'd like to think deep down that they believe that they can accomplish whatever in India. But you've got to try and get over the Indian spinners factor. India's playing some good cricket at this stage, and there's nothing wrong with them preparing wickets in their conditions to counter what I think England have. England have a magnificent team, in my opinion, when you look and see what they bring with bat and ball and how long England bat. Yes, it's going to take something special to beat England.
I mean, England have problems with the top order, certainly. What's your advice to England's batsmen as they face those Indian spinners?
Well, try and get accustomed to playing spin. if you can encounter that and obviously be successful against that particular attack, you're going to be okay. But what I think is going to be also important, that England have quality enough spinners that on such tracks that they can cause the problems that if you're good enough, I guess. You have Graham Swan, who has been one of your better spinners, whatever period of time that you may play. And he had success in that part of the world. And you cannot afford to have any Mickey Mouse spinners, you know, who would be playing against those classy spinners in India.
Yes, Graham Swan is saying that spinners are lowly regarded in England compared to the kind of status that the Indian spin bowlers have.
Well, you better find some ones who are going to be... add that problematic stuff to the Indian batsman, because pace may get it done at whatever, because you do have some quality paces, but you got to make sure that you have guys who can spin the ball and be as clever as the Indian spinners to have any success.
And if not, there are even concerns, I think, in the England camp, or maybe not amongst the team, certainly not declared as such, but... there's just a concern, I suppose, that this could be a 5-0 whitewash for India against England.
No, I think that's a long way away. England have something to say about that. And this is what I think, why some players are classed in the category of being great. You can go there and encounter that sort of stuff and be successful. I think you have done it before. You've got to find the remedy again.
Sir Vivian Richards, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you so much.